This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. Personal finance is an all-encompassing term. It is spending, it is saving, it is debt, it's investing, it's insurance, and it's income. Now, we don't talk all that much about how much people earn or how to earn more, but it's certainly an important variable in the overall equation here. So today, in a bit of a twist, we're going to talk about monetizing soft skills. How's that for a mouthful? Ann Taylor is the founder of Directors Coaching. She joins us now to talk about her latest book, her new book called Soft Skills, Hard Results, a practical guide to people skills for analytical leaders. She joins us from London, England. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
What do you mean by soft skills? I think I know what you mean, but what do you actually mean?
Soft skills are the people skills that you use when you're interacting in everyday life, whether it's at work or home. It's how you interact with people that matters in getting your results.
We talk a lot about the war for talent and we talk a lot about the innovation economy. What are the, I don't know, two or three most important soft skills that are most relevant in the marketplace today?
The first I would say is listening.
What? What did you just say? Sorry, I was on my phone. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listening. It's actually hearing what people are saying, so that you understand where they're coming from rather than hearing what they say, what they're saying, so you can respond. The other big thing is knowing yourself well, knowing what you're bringing to every interaction. If you always are happy and upbeat, you might not realize that someone you're talking to is going through a down period in their life or might be suffering grief. So it's knowing some of your preferences and tendencies that you're bringing to that discussion.
You believe that the better one is at these soft skills, the more money that they may make. And that really, I mean, I know that's not the reason you wrote the book, but given that this is a show about money, that's kind of our vested interest. Why do you hold that belief?
Well, it's interesting because it is actually about making money. I wrote this book for my coaching clients, who sometimes are so task-driven that they forget about the human element, the interaction part. And when they do the interaction part well with their staff, with their colleagues, with their bosses, they actually have a chance of making more money. Mm. They get more out of their teams, they're more productive, they have a chance of differentiating themselves and getting a promotion versus a colleague or a peer.
You outline a process in this book which begins with data, both existing data and harvesting new data as it relates to you, the individual. How do you go about finding that data? Is it like an MRI, a brain scan, an X-ray, Google Analytics? Do you have someone follow you around with a tape recorder? How do you get that data?
It's there every day. So if you're someone that works in an organization, you probably have done a performance review. So there's a bunch of data already. Mm-hmm. You can also look at any assessments you've done. So if you're a professional, often they'll take you on leadership courses. So you would have done assessments. There's also stuff that your friends and family tell you. Bruce, you're really efficient. You're always well organized. That's a piece of data about yourself that you are bringing to every interaction. So it's everywhere you look if you start just being more self-aware. Another neat thing I do say in the book is one that was shared with me by a fellow named Jack Wood, and it's the personal illustrative narrative. It's writing your life story and looking at what are the patterns and thoughts behind your life story, and that's data as well.
You also write about adapting authentically. What does that mean?
When I work with clients, they're always like, I don't want to be someone else. I don't want to put on a mask, which is great. I don't want people to either. That's tiresome. So how do you recognize that there's someone else across the desk from you that has all of their own stuff going on? You have all of your own stuff going on. How do you relate to them well, still being true to yourself? An example of that is if you're kind of a very humorous, fun-loving type of person.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am.
You are. That's where I got the
yes.
example.
Uh-huh.
If you know that about yourself, and you know someone else might not be that same disposition, how do you kind of temper it maybe if you're having a conversation with them about something important? or maybe you decide to play it up in hopes of making it a lighter conversation for them. It's about using the elements of yourself a bit more skillfully.
When push comes to shove, are there times in which you just need to adapt, even if it's not authentic? I had a manager once who knew I was a sponge for feedback, and there was no way she was interested in doing this or even really saw what was in her vested interest to do it. But she did it, and you could see her grit her teeth, and, you know, she did it. And I could see what was so great for me was I gave her 1,000 karma points for making an effort in an area that was so foreign to her.
That's an amazing example of someone that responded to one of their staff needs. And even though it wasn't kind of authentic, it wasn't her usual thing, at least she tried it, and it had a massive impact on it. You still remember it to this day and appreciate her for it. Most leaders would love that.
Yeah. When it comes to working on soft skills, what do people need to be realistic about? How do you tell what is influenceable, what is coachable, what is trainable, and what just isn't? Do you start from the belief that everyone and everything is coachable, or this is not your first rodeo, you've been coaching for a long time, do you know in your experience that sometimes you simply can't crack that nut?
Sometimes you can't crack that nut, and it really depends on the individual. If they want to change bad enough, if they're motivated enough, you can crack a lot of nuts. And frankly, even if you don't crack the whole nut, if you can just make a little bit of a headway, sometimes that's enough for people. But it really comes down to the individual. Do they want to make the change? Why do they want to make the change? What's behind the way it is and behind how they want it to be? What are their beliefs? And then baby steps. Make a little step. It might not be the moon. At least you're hitting the stars, is the old expression.
One last question before we go here. For a lot of our listeners, for a lot of people on this planet, even talking about soft skills is terrifying. They still haven't got over that hurdle. They'd rather do a course on Excel macros or whatever. What is one piece of advice that you would offer for those who find themselves in that point? Like, they get it, logically it makes sense, and it is terrifying for them.
Yeah. Try something. And the easiest thing to try, you already alluded to it, is feedback. Acknowledge someone for something they've done. So say thank you for a job well done, and say one attribute or adjective that they did well in doing that job. You were really efficient. You were on time. You were within budget. Give them a behavior, a skill, or an attribute of themselves that they exhibited in doing that job.
It's very practical. I love how low the bar that you took, but for some people, that would be a stretch. That's great. Anne, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with your book.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
Anne Taylor, founder of Directions Coaching. She is the author of Soft Skills, Hard Results, a practical guide to people skills for analytical leaders. And our reason for talking about this is we want you to have some more moolah.